We're talking about kindness. I hope you have... Is this not loud enough? Oh, it's on. Are we okay in the back? Okay. Tom? I hope you have your Bibles. If you do, turn to Matthew chapter 25. So we're going to look at the kindness of Jesus, and we're only going to spend time in one parable, because I think that's all we need this morning. We got a preview of what we're talking about here. We're going to talk about the parable of the sheep and the goats. Mentioned a couple weeks ago, the word kindness doesn't actually show up too many times in the Gospels. And the few times that it does, it's a couple of the cases aren't, kindness is being asked for and not shown. But I think Jesus definitely talks about kindness. Let's look in Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in the heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you looked after Me. I was in prison, and you came to visit Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, needing clothes and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The King will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of Mine, you did for Me." Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite Me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe Me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after Me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for Me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. We were talking in the Tuesday morning class this week about how when Jesus does His teaching, and Jesus tells His parables, He does it a little differently than maybe most preachers do. Jesus, we said, never felt it necessary or didn't often feel it necessary to explain His parables. He would let it sink in. He doesn't have to say, "Now I told you this lesson, now I'm going to tell you each point." Sometimes He did that. Sometimes He didn't need to. Sometimes the lesson is pretty clear. Jesus didn't say, "Come sit down, I'm going to teach you a lesson about kindness." He didn't say, "I'm going to teach you a lesson about service." And we've talked about the two big types of kindness in the Bible, and we said there's this kind of eye-to-eye service that I'm looking at. He didn't say, well, I'm going to show you how to do it. He said, you should know how to do this. And he says, if you don't do this, you should not be surprised what's going to happen. I'm losing out to twins here, aren't I? I'm okay with that. I never stood a chance. That's why I get the kids up here. At least, you know, somebody gets excited. Yeah, I've got them. The baby or Tammy? Okay. I didn't come here to tell you that. We look at this parable of the sheep and the goats. We divide the people. All nations come. And they get divided, just like a shepherd divides the sheep and the goats. And, you know, you can make jokes about how, look, the auditorium is split in two. And, you know, people have made unhelpful comments about political left and right and about this. And you know, people have talked about, well, is this really talking about believers, or is this talking about non-believers and how they treat believers? And there's a lot of ways we can pick at this parable and make it say things that we'd like it to say things and try to find other things that it can say. But I think this is a very simple parable with a simple message. Jesus is being very straightforward. He says there's going to be a time Son of Man comes in His glory, and He's going to care about one thing in particular. He's going to care about whether you show that you care, whether you have been kind, whether you have served, whether you have taken care of the least of these. And that can mean a lot of different things, the least of these. But I think the overall message is pretty hard to miss. You have to work hard, I think, to miss what's going on in this parable. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we work hard to miss an obvious message like that. I was thinking about this message, this parable, recently. As I mentioned, I don't remember, last week or the week before, there's been a lot of work being done here at the building and outside, a lot of good stuff being done, rooms being cleaned out and cleared, and all kinds of brush being taken out, and doors are being replaced. Look out for that. And a lot of good stuff's happening. What I've been trying to do is I've been trying to clean out the office, especially that outer office that nobody does anything in. And I kept coming across these cans. How many of you have one of these cans in your house? Yeah, got a few myself. We got a new box of these a couple weeks ago. Every year, Schultz Lewis sends us a box, about 20 cans. And I opened up the box and said, great, we have more cans. And then I went to go clean in that outer office, and it seemed like on every shelf I found more of these cans. And one of my first thoughts was, we might need to send a message to Schultz Lewis, say we don't need so many cans. We might need to say, we're okay for now, either send us less or give us a break, because we got a lot of these cans down there. They're just adding up, and obviously we don't need that many. And then I got thinking about it a little more. We have a congregation, we're 30 to 35 most Sundays. A little better on a good day. Sometimes people are traveling. We're usually 30 to 35 on a Sunday. And I was wondering what it might say if we can't get through 20 cans a year. Now, this is a congregation that wants to do good. Wait a minute. wants to be kind. Do good is going to be in 2 weeks. Wants to be... This is a congregation that wants to do good. And I've seen good happen here. And I started feeling bad. My first thought was, we've got too many of these cans, and they're putting a burden on us. And it made me think, well, I need to take another can. I need to make sure that we're filling it up. And at the same time, this week, we, as you see in our bulletin, we got our letter from Schultz Lewis saying we have our item for 2019 that we're going to collect. We're gonna move those cars out of the way. We're going to start filling up that table, canned vegetables, vegetable shortening. And it's always amazing to see what this congregation is able to do when there's a need and we put it together. And I certainly am not trying to criticize anything. I am proud of what this congregation is able to do when there's a need. I have no doubt we're gonna fill up that table, and hopefully we're gonna make a dent in these cans, or we're gonna do something for the kids at Schultz Lewis. And hopefully we are looking to do things in our community. I was talking with the elders the other night. We have a partnership with another organization that we're looking at the best way of rolling that out. We are doing good things. And I think we can do more. The elders put out a challenge at the beginning of this year. They said, we have a lot of money in the bank, which isn't something that a lot of churches can say. So we've been doing really well the last few years, and we're starting to get a big balance. They said, we want to do something with it. So the elders set aside a large chunk of that to say, we want to spend that this year, whether it's on the building or if it's reaching out to the community, doing evangelism, doing service. And we have gotten some response on what to do, and most of that has been replacing doors, getting rid of trees. Good things. But I know that this is a church that has a heart to do service. And as I spent time this week with the sheep and the goats, I just kept thinking more and more that there's nothing in here about well done, good and faithful servant. Your rooms downstairs look fantastic. Those shelves are no longer cluttered. And your parking lot lines are crisp. Not that these are bad things. But what Jesus does here, he tells us what the measuring stick's going to be. You know, think of college classes. You handed a rubric, right? Said, here's an assignment. This is what the grade is going to be based on. And I've had so many student papers that I've looked at and said, wow, this student has a lot of good things to say. I agree with every point in this paper. And none of the things I asked him to put in there are in there. Usually there's a Bible paper that I say, this would be a fantastic sermon. Here is your F. Because it's not written to the assignment guidelines. It's important to know what the standard that we're being measured against is. It's important to know what the one grading is looking for. And Jesus is very clear in this parable. Kindness matters. It matters that we identify needs and do what we can to meet them. It matters when Schultz Lewis says, we are trying to take care of these kids and we're struggling and we need some help. It matters that we answer the call. It matters that when somebody says, I need help, that we answer. I've been in a lot of groups with church leaders in a lot of places in the Church of Christ, and you know, when we have when we had the meetings of Romeo church leaders that meet every month or two here, a lot of times when you're talking about this type of kindness and service, the discussion ends up being more about how can we protect ourselves from not being taken advantage of. When the money goes out, how can we make sure it's being spent right? And that matters too, I suppose. But not as much, I think, as are we taking care of those that God cares about? If you talk with people who run organizations like soup kitchens and things like that, a lot of times you'll hear this parable brought up. And you hear a line often where they say, when they're talking to the volunteers that you're getting ready for somebody to come in, and they'll say something along the lines of, be ready. Jesus might be on that line today. We may be serving Jesus today. You saw that I was hungry, thirsty, stranger, needed clothes, sick, in prison. There are a lot of ways to show this kindness. It's not all about giving money. It's not all about giving things. Talked the last two Sunday mornings in class about loneliness. I think that plays into this as well. Stranger. Prisoner. There are a lot of ways that I believe we are not just encouraged to show kindness and to serve, take care of those who are in need. We are told to do that. We are instructed that if we are going to do things the way Jesus did things, if we are going to care about the things that God cares about, if we are going to wear the name of Christ, take that out into the world, this matters. And I think we have the capability to do pretty incredible things here. And I hope that you don't take out of this, everybody grab a can. I hope that the last thing this sounds like is guilting you into bringing an extra can of vegetables for Schultz Lewis, or bringing money, or that's not what I'm going for. And those who have been helping straighten this place up and in those conversations, that's been incredible, and I'm taking nothing away from that. But I think we need to spend some extra time in prayer, considering, are we doing everything we can? Are you doing everything? Am I doing everything I can as a church and as families, as individuals, to answer this call? There's a term that you might come across, see it a lot online, called slacktivism. I don't know if anybody has heard of slacktivism. Slacktivism is those who make a big difference in the world without those who act like they're making a big difference in the world when they're not really doing anything. Go on Facebook, and it's the people who, tragedy in France, well, I put the French flag on my profile picture. Mission accomplished. It's It's something bad happens. It is the army who is prepared with thoughts and prayers. It's the approach that says, I want to do something, but I don't really want to do anything. I think that sometimes it comes out of not knowing what to do, but I think sometimes it is easy to make a token action and say, well, I'm thinking and praying about that, and I've made it known that that's something that's important to me. But if we don't take the next step and actually try to do something, what gets done? I think when Jesus is talking about the sheep and the goats, we see he's calling for something more than slacktivism. It's talking about getting our hands dirty. It's talking about trying to make a difference that we can see. You know, kindness is something that we teach our kids very early on. And kindness is something that we keep learning about our whole lives. I think as we learn more about the world that's out there, and we learn that kindness is not just not cutting in line. We learn that kindness is not just sharing toys. We learn that as Jesus describes, there are people in serious, we say need. He's talking about people in danger. There are people who don't have food. There are people who don't have any connections. There are people who are sick, have needs. And I think we need to be coming up with ways to confront that. So, the elders asked for ideas at the beginning of the year. They still want to hear them. If you have ideas for the building, that's great. Good things are happening there. We need ideas. And we need action for showing the people of this community that we care about serving their needs. And we care about showing that kindness. And that this is a church that isn't just going to look pretty on the hill, that cares about their souls and their needs. So, time for the invitation. As always, we invite anyone who has spiritual needs or needs to share anything. That's always a part of the invitation. This morning, as well, I invite whatever prayerful ideas that you have for this congregation, or for individual families to do, or if you just have an idea you want to share with me that you think I can do. We need that from each other. We have a lot of, not just resources, we have a lot of creativity in this room. We have a lot of big hearts in this room, and I think we can do a lot together. So, goat. Nope. Let's be in thought and prayer about how we can show kindness, and we'll wrap this up next week as we get into maybe some specifics about living with kindness. But for this morning, if you need anything or if you have any thoughts, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Have thine affections been made?